Welcome back to Adventuring 101, where four students trying to make their way through Adventuring University, brought to you by the media group Beholder Our Adventure. Last time, our group has dealt with the bandit horde trying to take over the monastery by destroying the head leader, by destroying, decapitate, and incinerating his skull. Pretty metal, that's what I think. Thanks to the cleric Carl, the hero set off to the Black Tower to stop the Dark Crystal and see what some mysteries inside. Also, Phil, the skeleton that was guarding the bridge to the Doombringers, or is it Doombringer? Well, you gotta see that to find out this episode. And they got a magic bow staff of +1 that shoots fireballs called the Noob Tube. Yep. Robbie gave us a magical weapon that shoots fireballs. It's pretty worth it not being level 2 this far yet, and you know. But, unfortunately, the episode ended right at a cliffhanger, like usual, to the Black Tower. Just to let you guys all know, we were waiting for about several months to get to this part, so we're excited. And also, unfortunately, due to COVID-19, we couldn't meet together because of medical issues, and we won't want to get anyone sick, you know, trying to keep ourselves apart. But we were using Discord instead, so please bear with us. I tried my best to edit out anything like Elliot's beeping from his push-to-talk or anything like that. So please bear with us at this moment. A few episodes will be like this until things go back to normal, and thank you very much for listening. Now, let's begin episode 13, The Black Tower.
What up, all? Welcome to Adventuring 101, this podcast. It's pretty dandy, and a lot's changed since our last recording session. For you guys listening right now, it's only been like a month or so since the last episode was aired. But for us, it's been, geez, like 5 months since we last recorded, something like that, maybe even more. What do you, like, does anybody know how long it's been since we had our last recording?
It's been four months.
4 months?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so whereas time might not have passed for you guys, it has certainly passed for us, but now we're, we got a little bit of a new setup. We got, we're over Discord, we're testing things out, so hopefully the technical difficulties will be minimal and we can sort through things quite nicely. But without any further ado, let's just get right in there. I cannot note people who are to my non-visible right, left, or center because they are not. But I'll go in the usual order of introducing our players, and that is Kazuma, played by Steven.
Alrighty then, it's me, once again, Steven. I am excited because I want to know what's in that tower, and I've been planning and converting and discussing and also bribing to figure out what's in it. The tension is palpable.
Yeah, there's been much discussion from Steven on just what is in the tower. So all I can say is, you know, don't get your hopes up. Yeah. And then after Steven, we got Tyler McElwam, whose name I hope I got right, playing Merrimacus, whose name I also hope I got right.
Yeah, that's 2 for 2. Good job.
Hey, all right.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back. It's been a while. I haven't played D&D in a while, so I'm very excited to start up again.
Radical. And then the fine lady who would normally be in the center is Amanda Stewart, playing as Aluna Sage. Hello, Amanda.
Hello. And I can't wait to help my team out in the adventure to come.
Bueno. And finally, last but not least, is our main catman, Elliot, playing Bright Claws of the Bright Cliffs. Is that Wasn't that the last name, more or less?
Yes.
Affirmative. Gotcha. So, without further ado, why don't we just jump back in 4 months for us, but for your characters, only, like, maybe 5 seconds.
That's pretty mind-blowing.
I wish it was like kind of like a stage in a TV show where all the characters are just sitting there at the crafts table, and like one of us is smoking, the other one's in our trailer, and all that. Just and then you're just screaming at us to get in set.
Oh yeah, and then everybody suddenly ends up running on set, and everybody gets back in their positions. Perfect. Yeah,
Ryklaus Ryklaus is like yelling in his cell phone, and Luna's has 3 makeup people around her, and Cosima's just drinking 2 coffees.
All right. Well, the extras get off set. Stage people get ready. Cameras are rolling. And yeah, you guys, last we had left off, were just inside the Dead Marshes. And you were looking around for this Necromancer's Tower, which you found quite aptly. It is a large stone tower, basically looks like some kind of castle bastion, as it were, stretching high into the dark and stormy sky. And it has 2 large doors that are imposing towards you and are closed towards you. And you guys have sworn that you've seen a couple people, or at least one individual, moving throughout the windows of this tower, but you can't see who it is. So as you guys sit in front of this tower, I would like to know, what would you like to do?
Ask them who they are.
I look around at the tower and it's like, woo, this, how big are the windows, by the way? Like, if you can see them.
The windows are like, you know, chest to head height for an average person. So they're large windows, but they are, either fogged up or dark, and those that are lit up, you can only really see the shadows of somebody.
So this is like a tower that you see in a medieval video game, or is it like the Addams Family house?
More like a medieval video game. If I could equate it to anything, the atmosphere around that you get is like the old original like Scooby-Doo intro house. You know that one?
Okay. I look at our leader for this, is it an interim exam assignment work? And I ask him, like, so boss, what are we going to do?
Oh, yeah, Carl Carlson?
No, I look at Marin Magus.
Yeah, Marin was the leader for this specific test.
Oh, yes, that's right. I forgot. Yes, so what's our intrepid leader gonna do? As well as I mentioned, you guys have a very nice NPC with you, a cleric by the name of Carl Carlson, who is decked out in a trench coat, fedora, and chainmail on top of those items. So,
truly an inspiration to us all.
Yeah.
Well, as an intrepid leader of this fine party, I would like to ask my party members' advice on this matter.
Yeah, so to figure out a solution, you should listen. That's what a leader does.
Yeah. It's not that I don't have an idea. It's that I want to hear your ideas.
Oh, I'm playing well with the noob tube, and like kind of like, I don't know. I just look around and I'm like, it looks, they opened the door for us, and it, look at that. They're all hospitality and all that. You know.
Well, the door's closed. The door's not open yet.
How about we just knock on the door?
That's technically an idea.
But a boring one. As a cat, I suggest we do the rational thing and scale all the way up to the roof and look for a way in there.
Yes, don't the rational bored. Thing. Yes.
Yeah, well, okay, how about this? How about our leader? We voted on it.
Wow.
You're going to make this a democratic process?
Okay, you're the one who picks up the suggestions, and 3 of us vote, and then you and you decide if it makes sense.
Well, right now we have knock on the door or scale the walls.
For Luna, it's like, what do you want us to do? Like, what do you think?
I'm looking out for jellies.
Well, in case there's like a gelatinous cube just sitting in front of the door.
Yes, do that. No gel. living creatures. I do not like those. Those are my least favorite things.
We see just bright claws. His eyes go wide. Carl Carlson asks, do I get a vote on this?
I suppose so.
Sweet. I'm part of the group.
You're absolutely not.
She's an honorary member.
Yeah, exactly. I got the honor.
What's the group's called? I'm just rubbing my arm like with the killer whale sleeve.
The salmon stream, isn't it?
I knock his hat off.
He's going to punch you in the face.
All right, then.
All right. Calm down. This isn't the time for infighting.
Try it.
He gives you the wimpiest punch possible. He bops you on the nose like a small dog. It has about the same damaging effect.
I kick him in the shin.
Okay, give me an attack roll.
I get 11.
Okay, you kick his shin, but you end up only hurting your toes as you kick him in the chainmail.
All right, I'd like to split up this absolutely pathetic display.
Seconded.
I just started looking at these clowns, and I'm like, you know, I'm getting kind of antsy. I'm just going to go and knock on the door, and we just say hello. Well, you know, it's kind of nice, isn't it? I kind of want to know.
Well, I'm down for knocking if everyone else... let's put this to a vote. Who votes for knocking and who votes for Bright Claws' scale the walls idea?
I like the knocking. So one.
I vote for my idea.
I vote for my idea.
And I also vote for the knocking. So that's 3-1. And there's only 5 of us here, I believe.
Carl Carlson puts his hand up to go up the wall.
Hey, Carl, I dare you to just do a push-up.
That's 3-2. Knocking it is.
You can't even scale a wall. The only thing you scale is a cupboard to get bread for a sandwich.
If I may make an appeal?
which is?
What?
Please appeal your idea.
How about we combine our plans, and I will scale up and knock on each and every individual window I can find, starting from closest to farthest from the door.
If you're going to do that, just be a ninja and just sneak in to see if there's anything nefarious and while we're the distraction. How's that? And don't blow anything up.
That also works for me.
Yeah, okay. I'll accept this idea.
All right, so the rest of you are going up to the door while Bright Claws and Carl Carlson are scaling the wall.
Carl Carlson is going to stay. I don't trust him.
Says, you can't tell me what to do.
I want to look at him. I want to kind of intimidate him to shut up.
Okay, give an intimidation check. And in the meantime, Bright Claws, I would like you to make an athletics check.
I got a 2 because I farted.
Yeah, no, he starts climbing the wall. He cannot.
I start laughing.
he starts trying to, like, scale the wall and only ends up sliding down each time, but you gotta admire his spirit because he doesn't stop trying.
All right, let's get going. I want to see what's in here.
All right, I approach and I knock the door.
So you take the big knocker in your hand, knock, knock, knock. And both the doors open up simultaneously. And as this kind of like rustic old building type smell wafts up your nostrils, the whole area opens up into what looks like a large kind of greeting atrium of sorts. There's stairs at the back going upward, spiral staircases, large sort of congregation area. But most striking of all, in front of you, directly in front of you, is a zombie. A guy who definitely looks like he's been dead a while, and he's stretching his arms out to you. However, he's wearing a bit of a peculiar set of clothing. It is like a red dress shirt and a red circular cap. And instead of having his palms downward, he has his palms upward towards you, and he says, Coats.
Name of
takes his paisley jacket and hands it to the zombie. So here you go, my sir, and gives him a gold coin as a tip.
He turns to the rest of you and goes, "Coats."
Marin doesn't really have anything else on under his robe, so he'll hand over his hat though.
So you give him his hat.
Yeah, no tip though.
Okay. And Brightclaws, are you still scaling the wall at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I need that athletic check, please. In the meantime, so you guys give this...
Did I forget to do push talk?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. I got a 7, 3 on the dice, plus 4 athletics, so...
I see. Okay, then. And sorry, Amanda, what was that?
Oh, I can't give him my coat because my coat's actually the outside of my outfit.
Okay, yeah, probably not the best idea then.
But I will also give him my hat.
Perfect. So he takes your hat. Bright Claws, you are having about slightly more success. You maybe get 5 feet off the ground, but then you just end up slipping on the rocky surfaces. And just sliding back down next to Carl Carlson.
Carl, if I may make a request, throw me.
Throw you?
I'm sure you can do it. I have faith in your abilities. And my legs to jump while you throw.
Very well. All right. I'm going to crouch down, get ready.
I shall get into position. This is a cunning, marvelous plan that will surely succeed.
Yes. I'm going to tell you right now, his athletics check to support you is not great, but you can try. Give me another athletics check, but not at advantage because he failed.
All right. Come on, dice. Hurrah. I got twice the roll I had before without modifier. Unfortunately, that only translates to an 11.
Ah, fantastic. He does get you 10 feet up into the air, and then you just start sliding back down again. It's not a severe fall, though. You don't take any damage, but you just end up flopping back down on top of him.
All right. New idea. Running start.
Yeah, all right. He adjusts his fedora. In the meantime, you guys can just go in. The zombie ushers you guys inwards. He pokes out the door to see Brightclaws and Carl Carlson in their attempts to scale this wall, and he says, "Inside."
This way is more fun, man.
Coats.
I do not. Do you want me to tear off my fur? I can't remove my coat. It's a part of my body.
At that, Carl Carlson says, "Dear gods, a zombie!"
I stop Carl. I step out and kind of block from the zombie and be like, "This is a frontline worker, and we should show
God them damn it.
We should show some respect." And Tyler, and also, Marin, you gotta pull up, act like a leader, and put your big pants on and tell these two idiots to stop being an idiot. And that's Sally for me, the one with the 8 intelligence score.
Precisely. Carl Carlson, though, is not relenting. He says, "No, it's an undead. It is my duty to vanquish him."
He's just a minimum wage worker. They're all like that.
Honestly, what are you talking about? If we're going into a necromancer's tower, it might be better just to keep Carl Carlson out here. And I'm pretty sure Brightclaws would like it better out here trying to scale this wall. This is the best for everyone.
Wow.
Look at Marin, and does Marin wink, or like, because I can tell by your tone, like, does he wink at Kazuma?
No, he actually means this. This is him being a leader.
Okay, I agree with you, Marin. All right, I look at the zombie and be like, just close the door right away.
Close! And he shuts the door in Carl Carlson's face. You hear Carl Carlson's mace beat against the wall a few times, and then he goes back to helping Brightclaws. So Brightclaws, I'll have you do one more athletics check Still not an advantage because Carl is not strong.
All right. Will this be the final, the third time's a charm success? Huzzah! I got twice my other roll with plusing modifier, so that is a cool 18.
Sweet. That is excellent. That is enough to start scaling them all. You are catapulted up 10 feet, and you can start climbing up the windows, or this wall, yeah. To the windows, more rather.
Just a friendly reminder that my claws help me with climbing, so I get to go a 20 speed up.
Perfect. So you're climbing up. Carl Carlson starts following you. Everybody else is... You are all taken through these large hallways. You were led up the spiral staircase by the zombie, who's saying, "Follow."
Everything have a red satin style with it. It's like super old, and any old taxiderm animals around.
Yeah, there are some, like, there's a lot of not necessarily taxidermy animals, but art pieces. There's definitely a very drab gray decor to this place, but it's also weirdly accented by a lot of paintings of very gray and old, withered-looking individuals. But these paintings, they're in full color. They're clearly expensive and quite well done. But at the same time, you notice that there are many very tasteful things like pots of flowers, like colorful, well-maintained flowers, roses, lilies, petunias, that kind of thing, being tended to by skeletons in equally tasteful, colorful robes. It's a weird contrast between the actual structure of this place and the decor that is being promoted.
I turn to Luna and I kind of walk beside her and I'm speaking Draconic and this mumble saying, like, maybe this person isn't so bad. Just maybe we could try to be, you know, you do your ability, you know, your silver tongue and get through this. And maybe we figure out what this crystals and stuff going on, because it sounds familiar. You know what I mean, Luna?
Yeah.
Great. And I do a fist bump.
Luna fist bumps back.
Perfect. And what's Marin's response so far? Because there's a lot of undead. They look at you guys, but they don't attack you. They just water the plants, sweep the floors, that kind of thing.
Marin's going to be... he's very curious about all the undead, but he's also on the side of caution. He's going to lean back and speak also in Draconic. He's going to say, "Don't get too ahead of yourself, Kazuma. This is still a necromancer."
Okay, let's just... How many languages do you know?
5, if you include common.
Okay. Kazuma just somewhat looks annoyed, like everyone seems to know this language. And so Kazuma looks at kind of talks to Mary and be more like, "The art of what you learn doesn't mean how... doesn't depend on the person. It just means on the ability. Like, if you're a necromancer, it doesn't mean you're evil. Like, maybe just a lot of people do necromancy because they, you know, get some a lot of fodder instead of them getting their hands dirty."
"I'm just saying the use of corpses is a moral gray ground, so we should at least keep our guard up because we don't want to end up caring for those flowers over there."
Probably be more the guy who's mopping the floor over there.
"Don't necromancers keep oozes?"
"They might.
I think it's all wizards. I think it's just a Roomba."
"Yeah, I could see a sliming ooze as a Roomba. That'd be an interesting concept."
"Yeah, actually, that kind of checks out in a way." Meanwhile, Brightclaws, you are scaling this wall. Carl is behind you. And you get to the first window. It's on the first story, a little higher up. You knock on it. You can't really, or you can kind of try to see inside.
I will attempt to look in, yes.
Okay, inside, you see what appears to be a sizable kitchen. And this kitchen is being attended to. And the food in here is nice. You get it seems to be a lot of vegetables and fruits being prepared in like stir fries and roasts and that kind of thing. But all of the chefs are skeletons. And they are, in fact, wearing chef attire.
Ah. That old song and dance, eh?
Yes. And you also see among them a undead of some sort that looks a little like a zombie, but they seem to be able to walk and talk normally, as if they have, you know, some sort of sentience to them. And he is also wearing a chef's uniform.
All right. I have a cunning plan to gain entrance.
Okay.
All right. First, I shall gently rap on the window with my paw hand and perform caterwauling to alert them as to my presence. And I'll continue to do that. They open the window and gave me access. Yes.
Okay. So you start doing this, Carl comes up and he starts doing it with you. This grown man in a fedora.
At least he's being racially sensitive as to the ways of my people.
Yeah, exactly. And this zombie within the, or sentient zombie as it were, the sentient zombie works his way over to you guys, looks at you very curiously, cocks an eyebrow, and pops open the window and says, "Who the hell are you?"
Aha! Allow me to introduce myself to you, good sir. I have an immaculate business opportunity for you. How would you like to add something new and exciting to this clear feast you're preparing? A one-of-a-kind drink that I myself invented with rejuvenating properties to those who drink it. If you would just let me inside and give us a few minutes of your time, I'm sure you can be the lucky recipient of a once-in-a-unlife time deal.
Can we persuasion check?
Boy be hustling. Also, I keep hearing notifications from your end there, Elliot.
Like that?
No, never mind.
I can hear whenever he activates his push to talk, I can hear the little blip that happens when you press the button.
Okay, because I don't have a blip when it's doing on my end. Am I?
I have it on my end, but I don't know. Either way, give me a persuasion check there, Elliot.
All right, I have gone. Give me a minute. And... okay, there's my persuasion. It is a natural 20.
Oh, man. So, he looks at you very intently with his undead eyes. And he says, "A new drink, you say? What is the nature of this new drink? You say it has rejuvenating properties?"
"Yes, sir. It heals those who consume it, restores their stamina to a measure, depending on the quality and quantity of the ingredients used. Now, before now, I had only really been able to prepare it with lower quality plebeian stuff. But this luxurious kitchen you have, I could easily make a version of my formula twice, maybe even three times as potent as the one I've been peddling towards the commoners."
"All right, come on in. And but what about the priest guy?" And you can see Carl is like foaming at the mouth.
"Oh, he's just my manager. Not really as, he has his problems, but he tries to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Open-minded. I'm sure he'll be all right just staying outside for the time being until we finish our business here. Isn't that right, Carl?
Carl is like, no, the light of the thunder shall smite you, undead. And he starts half-acidly crawling his way through the window after you. You see, he's got his mace in one hand and his fedora in the other that he's putting back on.
So he's climbing with no hands?
Well, no, he's basically like Yogi Bearing it through the window.
Oh, I see.
All right. I'm going to put a paw hand on his shoulder and just try and subtly direct him towards the direction of the next closest window we had in our line of sight while climbing up. I feel like maybe you can find something to occupy your time and be productive while I am exploring this avenue of purchase within this house, tower.
All right. Home. Give me a persuasion check, I guess.
All right. That was a 17.
Ooh. He says, I like the way you think. I'll ambush them from the top. And he goes back out the window and starts climbing the wall again.
The zombie chef didn't see that, did he?
He did. And he just said, why do you have a priest here?
Oh, like I said, he's my manager sent to accompany me and some other associates I have in my portfolio of acquaintances for the purpose of our current business engagement. Yes. Pay him no heed. As you can see, well, he is a priest. He is open-minded enough to allow me to go about these duties while occupying his time with freestyle parkour. Yes.
Okay, so... All right. He says, okay, well, either way, you're going to have to talk with our boss. Here, I'll lead you out of the kitchen and I'll let you talk with him. Floyd should be at the front and he'll show you the way.
All right, then.
So he leads you back out of the room through the hallways and towards the atrium where you do not see your party or this apparent Floyd. And he says, oh, dang it, Floyd must have already got to somebody. You said you had other people here, right?
Yes, other acquaintances I traveled here too with, although they in particular have other means. I'm mostly just here to shield my merchandise. Very opportunistic I am. They'll probably be going about other non-drink-related avenues of purchase.
No worries. Here, just follow me up the staircase here, and I'll take you to him.
Alrighty then. Sounds good.
So you guys are taken up to the top story of this tower, all the way through, until you are taken to what appears to be a large banquet hall of sorts. It's got a nice, large wooden table, well-maintained mahogany, in the direct center with many tall chairs around it. And from one of the outer rooms, climbing down another set of stairs, you hear somebody says, oh, hold on, I'm almost there. Just give me one little tibble of a minute. And as you guys stand there with this zombie, what comes down the stairs is a impossibly old man. I'm talking like almost dust and bones old man. He is so skinny and withered with hardly any hair. What hair he does have are these like disgusting little like white curly patches. He's got a long face that is, as I said, almost skeletal. He wears long, dark black robes that are like a size too big for him.
Kazuma, when he sees him, he does a bow out of respect because he let him in his house.
He says, oh, no need for bowing, no need for bowing. There's no other formalities than what I must offer. Welcome. Welcome, travelers, to Castle Doombringer. So happy to see you here. Welcome, travelers, to Tower Doombringer. So I'm so happy to have you here. We don't get many travelers.
Excuse me, sir. Did you say Doombringer?
Yes.
And that's not to be mistaken for Doombringer, correct?
Oh, no, no. Oh, we get that messed up quite a lot. My family's originally from the far eastern part of the continent, so the translation, it doesn't always translate, you know? But yes, my name is Clarence Doombringer. It's nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you as well. My name is Marin Marcus.
Splendid, boy, splendid. And you, yourself, I've never seen Dragonborn in these parts and for a very long time. So pleasant to meet you.
Thank you. It's a pleasant to meet you again, too. It's a pleasure to meet you as well.
Hi. It's nice to meet you as well. And I stick my hand up for a handshake.
His old shaking withered hand gives you the puniest handshake you've ever had.
I try to still look very respectful.
So come sit down. Like I said, anybody is welcome in my halls as long as they're respectful. So tell me. And he goes and sits down at one of the chairs, and a skeleton comes and brings him a cup of wine. Says, come sit. Tell me, what brings you here to my humble tower?
Well, Sir Doombringer, I believe we're looking for some manner of pink crystal.
Oh, you're after that, I see. That's interesting. Haven't had anybody up for that. Yes, my family has an old pink crystal. Can't exactly remember why we have it. It was given to us for some reason many, 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 many years ago. But yes, we have some. I have something like that, but I'm not exactly fully willing to part with it since, although I don't know what it does, it most certainly has some significance, and my family's been giving it, you know? So not to cause any fuss or offense or anything like that, of course.
Just to catch up on like previous events of the podcast, we're grabbing this crystal because the Abbey's having undead problems.
Are you grabbing this crystal because the Abbey said, the lady at the Abbey basically said, Sister Ula, or Sister Una, says that the crystal is corrupting the land and enhancing the necromantic powers. So getting that crystal deprives the necromancer of his power, or as much of his power, making them easier to deal with, and then the Abbey can cleanse the undead from the area.
Oh, I see.
Looks at Marin and be like, can I say something for a second, or you want to continue this? And I looked at Luna and says, or do you want to say anything? Because I'm just trying to, because he just looks at both of them saying that, can he say something?
I motion to Kazma in like a go right ahead motion.
Okay. Hey, sir, I appreciate that you're bringing us to dinner. I just wanted to let you know there's two others outside, a Tabaxi and a cleric from Lythanthar. The Lythanthar cleric is kind of an issue, but please don't kill him because that would give us a bad reputation. I just let you heads up on that one. And the Tabaxi, he's kind of a wacky and unpredictable fellow.
And as you say this, Bright Claws is brought into the room with a sentient, not too badly rotted zombie behind in front of him, Kazuma, in chef's uniform.
Kazuma's banging his hand on the table, like, "What is this? Like, what did I do in my past lives to get this son of a bitch in my life?"
It says, "Oh, Tabaxi, fantastic! Come, have a seat. Have a seat. My name is Clarence Doombringer. A pleasant treat to meet you, my man. And where is your fifth?"
Oh, he's just doing some freestyle parkour in your tower because he's a bit shy of coming in right now for hopefully reasons that shouldn't need to be spelled out. Nice lad, though. Nice lad.
I told him he's a cleric with issues.
Oh, that's perfectly all right. You know, we've had to deal with that Abbey of the Thunder down there for a while, but you know, Phil keeps them away, and that's good and fine.
I met the monk, and he gave me this, and I showed him the staff, and I do like a twirl with my hand, like a baton.
Oh goodness, you bested Phil!
Yeah, I clocked him right in this shiner, but you know, and this is pretty neat. I just would like to get attuned to it or whatever. You know, I have just to let you know also he looks, Cosmo pauses and looks at Marion, and is like, and kind of says in Draconic, can I tell him about why are we here?
Why are you here? He says back in Draconic.
I don't think Draconic's a good way to speak in secret.
I don't know if thieves can't. Okay, well, the thing is, we're here for no harm, and he sits down and crosses, like, you know, tries to be relaxed, like, we mean no harm, but that church wants us to come here and get a pink crystal, but the thing is, you seem very nice, and we don't want to, like, hurt you, but it seems to hurt the land, like, you know, and that's what they're saying, and Lythanthor is about, you know, the light, but I don't think I don't think anything negative. We're just trying to figure something out peacefully. What's for dinner?
Oh, you did the Abbey put you up to this? The Abbey put you up to this.
Yeah, and he just seems sad. Like, but no, we're not here to hurt you. Just because we're quite happy to meet you.
Oh, well, thank you, but that dreaded Abbey's been trying to get my family's land for years. Simply, no offense, despicable bunch of folk. Very greedy, you know. My family has been guarding the ancient graveyard here for longer than the spell plague was around, you know. That Abbey has been a thorn in my family's side.
When he says spell plague, Cosmo starts giggling and remember what his mom's story about it.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to get flustered. I hope I don't offend you. It's just that Abby's been after my family's land for so long, and they've always sent adventurers. But clearly, you have a different sort if you bested Phil. But nonetheless, goodness me, terrible. So the unfortunate thing for us to have to transpire to.
Well, we're here for Argon's Adventuring Academy, and we like to just, you know, like, we're not, and we're just here for our assignment here. That's why we're contracted to come here. But we are not really, like, I'm not anything negative towards you or the skeletons here. They never seem to hurt us.
Oh, no, I only do consensual necromancy around here. If somebody wants to be, you know, brought back from the dead to help out with things around the Abbey, I ask them first, and it goes from there.
You have a contract for that? And he starts sipping does Cosmo have wine?
You have wine?
You have, like, a glass of wine or food or anything.
Yeah, wine is eventually brought to you, and you guys are, in time, over this course of this conversation, brought big plates of food. Seems to be kind of a vegetarian, like, nice spiced stir fry. No meat, though.
Ooh. That's very good for Marin.
Yeah, and also there's some roasted vegetables with compliment and, like, a nice foamy cream dessert to go along with it, almost like an uncooked meringue. And it's not, like, moldy or, like, crappy in any way. Like, this is, like, well-prepared, nice quality, fresh food.
Azuma looks at Luna and starts eating, like, shoveling, you know, the dragonborn method of eating, like, proving he's not a child and he needs vegetables.
You now have a vegetable complex.
A dragonborn are naturally carnivoristic.
Yep.
And yeah. And Cosmo still remembers what Marin says for being 6 years old. He's like, a 6 year old doesn't eat vegetables without problems, and yeah, and he just eats like a whole salad.
Perfect. But yeah, that's basically what Clarence, apparently this guy's name, tells you, is that, you know, Abby's been trying to get his land forever. And he's convinced, he says, I'm quite convinced that they just want my land for the wine.
Wine?
Yes.
I buy that.
Yes, take a sip yourselves. Finest wine in all of Faerun, I guarantee you. Not to toot my own horn, of course. It's my undead servants that mostly help with the fermenting process.
But is that within proper health safety regulation?
Oh, of course. The zombies are only used for more of the menial labor, and I have skeletons and whites and ghouls and other non-decomposing things to tend to the actual food items. You know, we're all about health and safety here.
Could I perhaps do a nature check on the wine to determine if his words are true and the wine is, in fact, good, proper, within health safety standards?
Sure. I mean, if you guys taste the wine, do you taste the wine? That's the question.
I mean, I'm more smelling it right now. I'm, you know, strong cat sense of smell.
Right, of course.
I'll wait for someone else to try it first.
Okay, 12.
Cosmo drinks it, all of it, and without any issue.
Luna looks at it and says, "Thank you very much, though I don't drink."
I'm sorry, what does a 12 get me for my nature check?
A 12 will attain you the fact that, well, you don't think it's poisonous, but you're just not 100% sure. I mean, it seems fine. But Kazuma, you gobble down this wine in one go, and you have a bit of like a mind exploder moment, because this is the best thing you have ever tasted.
Do I get like a flashback in my childhood, like in Ratatouille?
Yes, you get a flashback to when you were making, you go through basically, your whole life flashes before your eyes. All of your good, positive memories as this wine goes through your taste buds and down your throat and makes you feel warm and fuzzy.
Cosmo starts crying. Like, oh, it's so wonderful. I miss you, I miss you, Mom and Dad. He starts crying and he starts, like, grabs a couple napkins and starts blowing his nose. It's so wonderful.
Aaron's going to keep his eye on Cosmo just for a little bit longer before he starts drinking.
Okay.
Can I have another one?
Of course, of course. The wine's on the house. Please, have another.
Said him and it says, "I'm sorry I don't drink wine, but do you have any water?"
Oh, of course. We have a freshwater spring. I'll get some for you right away. And he claps his hands and the skeleton walks off.
I was just going to say, Bright Claws is going to down his drinking container, pouch, sack, horn, etc., and start filling it exclusively with the freely offered wine.
Okay. So you just fill up your water skin with wine?
Yes.
All right. Do you taste it?
I will give it a lap.
Oh, I'm going to be hoping to edit that one out again.
No, it's the best lap you've ever had.
It is, but I have to hear that editing.
Very good.
Yes. This stuff knocks the stuff at the Abbey out of the ballpark by far. And Clarence says, as you can see, the wine, thanks to the fertility of the soil in this area, is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And those little greedy abbey dwellers have been trying to get my land for years, and I just won't abide by it.
Cosmo's still ugly crying a little bit while eating, and he looks at Luna and it's like, this is so good. And he starts crying, like,
"Aw, poor Cosmo.
I'm not a child. Stop it."
Eventually, a cup of ice water is brought to you there, Luna.
"Oh, thank you very much." And she slowly starts drinking it.
The skeleton gnashes his teeth like...
"Ooh."
So Clarence says, "So I do apologize if there's been some, you know, conflict of some sort. I don't mean to inspire such things, but yes, I'm not particularly eager to part with the crystal. Just because, well, not, I don't really know what it does, but I can guarantee that It's been in my family's protection for so long, you see.
Well, I'm begging your pardon, Mr. Doombrinder, but have you noticed any deterioration of the nature around your home? Do you think this crystal could be the culprit of such a thing?
Well, it could be. I don't necessarily know. This swamp was already kind of, swampy when my family was here, as far as I know. But I wouldn't be necessarily surprised. The crystal certainly has some kind of magical properties. I've tried to understand it over the years. Nobody can really figure out how it works.
Cosmo was like, we have an interesting thing about these crystals. Can we have a look at it? We won't steal anything. Just Cosmo wants, side thing. As a player, I know I wanted to ask him about what's going on with the simulation assignment, and he remembers the crystal, but could I bring it up? Would that make sense, or would that ruin the story?
I mean, no, if you want to mention a thing that, I mean, you experienced it.
Okay, Cosmo looks, it's like, yeah, we have this issue with the crystal at our school. And he explains the whole assignment process and everything, and it was in the simulation and the crystals, and then and there's like weird what's going on with it. Looks like Marin's vomiting, and it just basically just a catch up of everything. It's like an explanation what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. It says, oh, that's most peculiar, very distressing. I'm sorry you had to go through that. Well, why don't we go down to the basement and I can show you the crystal, and we can figure out things from there. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, I'm just worried about that cleric around. I don't want him to ruin anything.
Yes, indeed. And he turns to the zombie that brought you guys in and says, Floyd, would you look outside for the cleric, please? Make sure he doesn't, wind himself up into any trouble. And Floyd says, okay, and starts stumbling down the stairs.
I don't imagine Carl could do too much damage, because he's not even a cleric. He's a priest, so it's not like he has holy magic, right?
He does have some magic, but its power is debatable.
Okay. So it shouldn't be too bad that we left him alone, right?
I am worried about idle hands. Cosmo points at Bright Claws. Like, you know what I'm talking about.
That's a very good point.
So do you guys follow Clarence down to the basement?
Yes.
Yes.
We'll deal with the Carl situation afterwards.
All right.
And Cosmo follows, and he asks about the paintings as well to Mr. Floyd.
The witch?
The master of the house.
Ah, okay. It's Clarence that is bringing you down at the moment, but you can talk with Floyd if you want to catch up. And so what do you want to ask him there, anybody? Anybody want to ask anything while you guys are just... You're basically going down the large spiral staircases down into the basement.
Hey, is there anything regarding... he tells them about Argon's Adventure Academy and the mountain which has officiated on? What's the mountains called that Argon's... where the whole school set on?
There's not a... I think it's called the Sword Coast Mountain Range, but I can't quite remember. It's on the Sword Coast, though.
Well, he wants to tell the master about the time they went, like Cosmo was like, tell them about the time they went down to the deep a little bit, like what happened.
Okay, he says, oh, goodness. Oh, goodness, that's dreadful. That's awful.
There was I couldn't see anything, but there was apparently like weird whispers and screaming as well, and then we got out with, like, these two were knocked out. Then wacky and unpredictable things happen. Like, one was sick and the other one is just... in Fight Club, there was Goliath was going to bash this cat's head in, but he says a tentacle saved him?
Huh.
Yeah. Should we, do anything about it? Anything we should talk, see or figure it out, and...
Well, I don't know how much help I can be. Most of my magic is concentrated on reanimation and maintenance of the dead. But, if you want me to see if I can, magically analyze your friends, I do have some arcane experience.
You guys cool with that?
It might be a good idea.
So long as he does not interfere with the will of the elder cats. Praise be their adorable fluffiness.
Oh yes, I've heard of the elder cats. Very wonderful sort of mythology that you tabaxi have. Very, very good indeed, he says as he takes you guys down.
Yes, my homeland is full of many, many stories of great and respectable intrigue. Yeah.
Well, perhaps if I ever get to Lichdom, I can go over and visit. So you guys are brought down into the basement, and he takes you down into this lower area. Things are lit by torches all over the place. Clarence uses a spell to put a ball of light in his hand, and it drifts off into four multicolored lights to illuminate the space around you. You guys get down to what looks like a sort of tome. You guys get down to what's kind of like a sort of tomb. There are many rows and rows of stone sarcophagi, or sarcophaguses, however it's pronounced, laid into the floor of these rooms. Or this, laid into the floor of this very large, long hallway room. Above these sarcophagi, guesses, whatever, are paintings of, you could probably guess, the people who exist within these coffins now. They are all of weird variety of, like, old and withered, like Clarence, but there are a few that stand out. There's a handsome man with very pale skin and sharp teeth, and a woman that simply looks like a mummy body with a large necklace and a wig of red hair. Like, this woman has died and apparently had a painting done of her.
Cosmo looks at the master of the house. He says, like, you know, like a toothy grin, like, this is the dead center of the tower, am I right?
Huh? Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, quite it is.
Yeah, I'm funny. These guys don't laugh at my jokes. My genius is wasted.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that. Not everybody gets everybody's genius.
Yeah, no one here appreciates me. He looks around all the three others.
Luna puts her thumb up and says, I like your jokes.
Thank you, Luna.
I'd like some of you guys to make perception checks, whoever wants to make one.
Oh, I was already going to make one, so yeah.
Perfect.
Definitely. I got a 20.
Do you want everyone to make a perception check or just some of us?
Whoever wants to.
17.
I also got a 17.
This is... I got...
17 plus my perception.
Your wisdom plus whatever you're proficient with. And what did you get, Elliot?
I got a 19 overall.
Okay, all of you together see the eyes of the paintings above the sarcophaguses roll their eyes simultaneously.
Oh, they're haunted. That was totally expected.
That's a little bit like a Homer Simpson scream, like,
ah! Oh, don't worry. They just don't in quite as good humor. You know, being dead will do that. And he keeps following, leading you guys along.
So, I have a question for you, Mr. Necromancer person.
Oh, please, just call me Clarence.
Clarence. If you and your family are necromancers, why haven't you been reviving yourselves after death? You seem to be the only one active.
Oh, well, it's sort of a tradition, as it were, you know, where... While we, you know, help with unlife, there are instances in which it is difficult to revive one of our family members, or it is impossible because we aren't able to retrieve the body. There are complications. This layer of the tower is a little older than the others, so these are far, far, far back ancestors of mine. And although their spirits wander these halls, their bodies are not exactly the most intact to be used for necromancy. And plus, you know, death is an inevitable process, and some of us like to engage with it. Others choose to go ahead and, you know, become liches or undead themselves. It's a personal choice. Generally, my family tends to go towards allowing ourselves to die so that we can serve greater purposes.
Like Cosimo looks a little sad, and he's like, my dad, and it was, you could say, wasn't chose to die.
Yes, death can be very unfortunate, but it can also be a good thing. But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Cosimo's like, I saw his heart got ripped out.
Oh dear, that's definitely not pleasant.
Yeah, I need some of this more wine. He drinks a little, like a glass right away.
Positive memories. Sorry, go ahead.
You don't have any slimes down here, do you?
Oh, goodness, no.
Good. I like them.
Yes. My servants keep this place top-notch clean. And as he walks down to the end of his hall, you guys are greeted by a fairly large door. It's about the size of the front door, so about 8 feet high sort of thing, just one large door. And there is a stone, flat stone door, and on the door is just a layer of glass. You can't see through the glass. It's just like glass embedded in the rock. And Clarence says, if you'll excuse me for just a moment, he touches the panel and is kind of mutters himself to himself a little bit. And he's there for just a couple minutes. At first, when he touches it, you guys see several symbols. You guys see several symbols poke up on the glass, but they soon fade away. Clarence mutters something. Looks like he's casting a spell, moving his hands around, and eventually the door opens. And levitating on a pedestal in the center of this decently sized chamber is a perfectly D8-shaped pink crystal.
There it is. The potential source to all of our problems.
Well, I think this is a pretty good resource right here, and Kazuma walks around it, and it's like, sir, I just wanted to ask, is there anything, you have any issues with this?
He says, no. And you guys, as another note, there is a kind of low hum of energy in the room as you guys enter and fan out and start looking at this thing. There's also, as you get closer, there's this weird feeling of unease and dread that comes over all of you, but it's weirdly not unfamiliar. Like, it's a weirdly familiar, specific feeling that you guys get.
Can I roll a perception check?
Yes.
14 plus perception.
Are you proficient in perception?
Just 1 second.
No worries.
Perception is intelligence, right?
Wisdom.
Plus 0.
Okay, 14 overall then. And then I think you get a plus 1 for being a bard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 15 overall. Okay, anybody else?
I would just because the whole hum is already freaking out Bright Claws enough because, you know, cat person. The dread is not making things any easier, so he would like
Here's the weak part, Elliot. You find this whole dread and unease cat thing oddly common when it really shouldn't be. Like, it makes you, your body at least, maybe not necessarily your mind, but your body relaxes as if you're, like, home.
Okay, so is the humming like a Roomba hum or like a purring hum? Because one is not like the other.
It's like if you, how would I describe it? It's just a very low-frequency white noise.
Okay, so I somehow rolled a 19. Very familiar roll. Don't know I got 2 in a row, but...
Yeah, you get the sense that there is something really off about this crystal, and it makes you just feel really internally strange. It's clearly... Yeah. And, sorry, go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Cosmo just kind of looks at each of everyone and be like, I don't feel very happy here. Anyone else?
Clarence says in response to your earlier question, yes, well, it's a little bit of a damper, but that's, you know, why we keep it in the vault here. Yes, I don't really know how it works, and I don't really know what it does, just that it's clearly magical and powerful in some respect.
Could I roll an Arcana check on it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I am proficient in that. Alright, that's 18 plus 5, so 23.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, this magical artifact definitely has a significant amount of power to it. The specific nature of the power, though, you are not sure. You don't know if it's illusory, evocation, or any kind of specific school of magic, other than it clearly channels some kind of arcane power, possibly infused with some kind of negative energy, perhaps, in some respect, or very weird neutral energy. And it clearly has kind of, you would guess it's almost like some kind of, if not a fuel source, a conduit for a fuel source, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Uranium, a little bit.
That's a good analogy. It's like like an electrical cable.
We're not getting sick from it or anything. It's just that sense of like, this is not nice.
But
not,
yeah, no, it's just unpleasant.
Yeah, it's not like getting us cancer or anything.
Not as far as you know.
Also, it kind of, with all the feeling of dread for 5 minutes, he just sits outside of the door and just stares at the crypts and be like, I'm going to sit out here for a little bit.
Yeah, and Brightclaws, what are you doing with this thing? You're going to go up and touch it, figure it out, or what?
First, I would like to ask Mr. Necromancer Person, am I supposed to be feeling not good?
Well, yes, it does give off a bit of weird negative energy, I'll admit that. That's fairly normal.
Curious, you don't know about any situations which would cause somebody to unknowingly feel completely fine and then be in the presence of a negative energy?
That's a good question. I suppose if you were, somebody was an undead, or they were corrupted in some way, or maybe their soul just wasn't in their body, or they were, something like a devil or a demon, or something associated with negative energy, or had that kind of soul in them, as it were?
None of those answers bode well for me. You don't have a checkup place in this tower of yours for your potential negative energy related bodily shenaniganery, do you?
Well, I use negative energy in a positive way to animate the bodies, but so I have some knowledge of it. If you feel that you are being very weirdly affected by this, of course, I'd be happy to help out a fellow, just a traveler, as it were.
I did ask.
Yes.
I did ask that. Is it Phil? Or I'm trying to think of his name again.
The skeleton?
No, the master of the house. I'm trying to think of his name again.
Oh, Clarence.
Clarence. I did ask Clarence to do a review on both your guys's. Wizard would review, like a doctor checkup on both of you guys anyway.
Yeah, I was going to ask if this crystal is affecting me in any way similar to holy magic.
No, actually it's not.
Mm.
Cosma looks kind of, he's staring at his face is staring at the crypts. He's keeping one eye at everyone, side eye, just to make sure that they're not wigging out or anything stupid.
Yeah, I would like to know if anybody is, you guys are basically all this is a fairly large room, so you guys can all circle this thing at a decent pace, but I'd like to know if anybody, if you want to get closer, go up and touch it, examine it in detail. What you've gathered is only from your observations in the room and your knowledge. Like, for instance, Marin, you're just kind of hanging back looking at this thing, and this is what you can kind of deduce based on its nature.
Yeah, well, Marin is driven purely by curiosity. So I would like to ask Doombringer if I may touch it.
Well, it may make you feel a bit strange. I don't know the exact consequences. Nobody's touched that thing in a very, very long time, even myself. I have the farms to attend to and everything. So I would advise some caution, but as long as you're not, you know, picking it up and holding it and for a very long time, the adverse side effects should be minimal. I just, you know, be very careful. That's all I'm going to say, but I'll be right here.
Cosmo yells at Luna. It's like, how are you feeling in there?
What was my perception check?
Yes, your perception check does deduce that this crystal is giving off definitely negative vibes and energy of an arcane nature, much like what Marin deduced. And you are very self-aware of this feeling of unease, dread, almost like existential crisis of existence that is just at the cusp of your mind. Not enough to be like, oh dear God, but enough that it's kind of annoying.
I wonder if there's something we could use to grab it safely.
I have a better idea.
Oh dear.
This is my idea. I would like to take out from my clothing and backpack some pouch of my nip, as it were.
Jesus.
I would like to take the remainder of the container of that delectable 11 herbs and spices I took from the Abbey place last episode to, or was the episode for that, to create my random alchemical experiment. And I would like to mix the herbs and spices with the catnip. And then I would like to sprinkle it over the stone, and then I would like to chew and lick it up, and obviously this will allow me to get in tune with the elder cats in some way.
Oh,
before you lick this horrible necromancy crystal,
do it.
I'm gonna have Marin touch it with his non-dominant hand before you put your face up against it.
Fair enough. And just a reminder, cats love to eat like random spider cobwebs and stuff, so this is perfectly in character for them.
Of course, yeah.
I'm not denying that. I'm just doing it for his own safety.
Okay, so Marin, you go up with your non-dominant hand. Which hand would that be?
That would be Marin's right hand.
Okay, you're left-handed. All right. So you go up and touch this crystal with your right hand. The feelings get more and more unpleasant as you approach. And when you touch this crystal, you just get this feeling of terrible, terrible existential dread. That's like nothing you will ever do in your life will ever matter in the grand cosmic scheme of things, and that there are forces far beyond you, far superior than you, that will just completely overshadow any accomplishments you ever have.
Yes, my book will eventually turn to dust.
Yes, precisely. Stuff like that. Or somebody will come out with an even better manual.
Does anyone?
Oh, the horror!
Does he get like a negative anything? Like this seems kind of like a big deal.
It's more of a mental thing, you know. As soon as you're done touching the crystal, that feeling fades, even though it may have rustled your jimmies a little bit.
All right then. How do you feel?
Not great. I'm just sort of like, I have a 1,000-yard stare right now, just sort of looking at my manual that I've been carrying.
Cosmo walks behind Marin and puts his hand on his shoulder and be like, hey, have a drink of this.
Is that the wine from before?
Just take a sip of it.
Yeah, all right, Marin will drink now.
Okay, you feel a lot better. You have your memories coming back to you of seeing centaurs and other mystical creatures asking Azur Pelurix about her, the nature of her species, smoking weed.
Yeah.
All the good feelings.
Alcohol helps with everything.
Exactly.
It's a joke. Don't.
Yeah, don't actually do that.
No. This isn't a PSA.
No, just don't substitute alcohol for real mental health.
Precisely. But speaking of nothing in particular, Brightclaws, would you still like to lick this crystal?
Yes, with my pouch of special medicinal
herbs.
Yes, his now 12 herbs and spices.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, I would like you to do a wisdom save for me at disadvantage. You go ahead and grind in a mortar and pestle, I guess, all of this stuff together, all of these ingredients. Brightclaw's patented 12 herbs and spices. You get close. The feeling gets more intense for you as you become, at the same time as you become filled with existential dread, you also get more and more relaxed. You go up, you sprinkle this stuff on the crystal, and then you lick it. So like I said, I want a wisdom save at disadvantage.
Okay, would I be able to use my insight for this?
No.
Okay, natural wisdom, a 14 and a 10, so that
Oh, sorry, my apologies, I got something wrong. I want you to make a charisma saving throw.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's way fucking better for me. Okay, that's a 12. Wait, hold on, actually. Let me double check. Okay, yeah, that's a 12 for me then.
Cool. So you lick this crystal. I'd like everybody to make perception checks. And in the meantime, Brightclaws, you have a sudden realization. And that's that this crystal is yours. These people do not deserve to have it. And you must get it out of here.
Shiny.
So it was a perception check?
Yes.
And that would be wisdom?
Yes, it is.
I got 16.
I got 12.
13. Cool.
All right. So let me see here. Marin, you notice Brightclaws stares at this thing for a little too long. And as he licks this thing, you swear to God, you can see something attaching to his tongue and then immediately leaving it. You can't tell what it is, but it's like some kind of saliva or something or mist from the crystal sticks onto Brightclaws' tongue. And Brightclaws has his own slightly different thousand-yard stare.
Oh, Brightclaws, you okay? I'm just going to like try to pull him back slightly.
Brightclaws, you must get this crystal out of here.
I know. I'm going to attempt to take it in my jaws and just walk away.
Ozma wants to do an insight check.
Okay, you can. Brightclaws literally just picks the crystal up in his teeth and starts walking out of the room.
Whoa. Hold on, Brightclaws, hold on.
Ozma tries to grapple him.
Oh, okay. Elliot, you guys will both make athletics checks to grapple, and I would like you guys to roll initiative.
I want to I will roll initiative, and I get a 13.
I get a 10.
17 on initiative.
What's initiative again?
Dexterity.
I got a 16.
Cool. All right. So Marin's actually first.
Well, that's new.
Yeah, so you immediately see Brightclaws is trying to walk out of the room with this crystal in his jaws, and Kazuma's running up to tackle him.
All right. I'm going to sort of go near where Clements is, and I'm going to tell him that something is definitely wrong here.
Oh dear. Yes, I suppose so. Let me... What should I do? We can't kill him, of course.
We just need to stop him from leaving.
Okay, I'll do what I can.
And then I'll hold an action to, like, non-lethally attack him. To attack Brightclaws. If he approaches, like, the exit.
Okay, so you're just going to go over to the exit and block him?
Yeah.
All right, Luna, it's your turn now. Marin is blocking the exit to this room. Kazuma is about to tackle Brightclaws as he's walking out of the room with this crystal in his jaws. And I should mention, Brightclaws, you are fully morally willing, ethically willing to kill your teammates if it comes to that. Like, their lives do not matter more than this crystal.
Sounds like a Tuesday for a cat. So
yeah, actually, that's perfect.
Okay.
Oh, I should have used Identify on that crystal.
Oh, yeah.
I want to use Identify.
You want to cast Identify on the crystal?
Yeah.
Is that a touch spell?
How long is it? I think that takes some time, though, doesn't it?
It can be cast as a ritual. Minute.
Yeah, 1 minute.
Ritual casting.
Yeah.
Instantaneous, it'll use a spell slot.
I don't mind using a spell slot.
Okay, you do have to go up and touch Bright Claws, though.
I'll run up and touch him. Okay. For like a second.
All right, you go up, you grab the crystal in Bright Claws' mouth, and you cast Identify. What would this be? I would like you to make an intelligence save, I suppose.
Okay.
So that's your intelligence.
14 plus intelligence, which is plus 1, 15.
Are you proficient in intelligence saving throws by chance?
I only have plus 1.
Yeah, okay. I think bards get charisma and dex.
Okay, yeah. So what was the result of that, sorry?
15.
Okay, you come to this sudden realization that not only is this crystal in itself a magical item of enormous power, the power, though, is alien to you. You're not entirely sure what it does still. But it's a channel or a funnel of some kind, and it's also part of something bigger.
Oh no, it might be a cube.
Well, not as in a larger magical item of some sort.
Like more crystal?
Yeah, like more crystal or something even beyond that. It is a part, almost like a nerve cell, in a way, to whatever its higher entity is. Whatever it's a part of. And it alone possesses great magical power. But to release that requires willpower beyond what you guys assumingly have in terms of magical prowess.
You understand that?
I'm trying to figure out beholder, like if it were to be part of a beholder.
I think that's as much as information as you're going to get.
Yeah, it's just part of something bigger, and it's very powerful.
So it can't be a monster. Let's see what it is later on. But you got a lot of information out of that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's your turn. Kazuma, it's your turn now.
I try to grab the cat by the tail.
All right.
And just do a grapple.
That is a contested athletics. See if we play.
In athletics, I got a 15.
Do I roll 2?
Yes.
Okay. Nat 1.
Oof.
So, this is actually really good just for the party, but like, yeah.
So, Kazuma yanks on your tail as hard as you can. You go flying backwards and a crystal pops out of your mouth. I would like you to make a charisma save again, please.
Very well. All right. 19.
Okay, you suddenly come back. You blink, and everything returns back to normal. You don't feel homicidal anymore. As the crystal drops and clinks over to Marin's feet.
Well, I have Bright Claws' tail. I have my axe ready for his neck, and I'll be like, are you going to settle down there? Because I'm still a little pissed from you.
Meow.
That's not an answer.
It's pretty much an answer.
I toss him aside.
That crystal is bad mojo.
I toss him aside anyway. Like, I look at the crystal, and it's like, you guys physically touch this, right?
I want to eat it.
You just stay right there. And I look at Luda and says, like, you touched that with your gloved hand, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you had to, you felt something from that? Like you felt sick?
Did I feel sick, Marin?
You Marin? Felt kind of sick. Like I said, you were casting an actual spell on it, devotedly and concentrating on that. So you got a bit of what Marin got, but you got more of the information that I told you.
I tell Cosima the information.
Okay, cool, tell me more about later. I just looked at the headmaster and I said, I'm so sorry about this. This creature always seems to get on my nerves a little bit. All right.
Hey. Oh, think nothing of it. Think nothing of it. I'm just happy you're safe. Here, let me oblige. And he uses a mage hand to put the crystal back up, levitating on its pedestal.
Neat. I look at Bright Claws with a stern look, like I thought that would have been funny, but you just, all right. Let's get out of here. I really like a long to have a nap also, just because we had a long 2 days of roughing it.
Yes, indeed. If you need us to stay in the rooms, by all means, please do. I have guest rooms that my ancestors used to use, but they're obviously not used anymore. So please, if you need to rest after an ordeal like that, please do.
While we were walking, I went to ask the Mad Master and be like, do you have any like kids or family members? Like, you seem lived alone. Like, you ever had anyone else with you? Because it just seems kind of like, how, like, you must have extended family members or something.
Oh no, I'm afraid I'm the last of my line, as it were. At least in this local area, you know, all the necromancers kind of know each other, but...
You don't have, like, children?
No. I'm afraid not. I kind of went along my life doing other things, you know. Gardening, mainly.
Okay. I was a little bit, like, Cosmo kind of has a sad look, like, well, you know, family means a lot. You can't, you know, you have to have something to keep.
But, yes, I have my family here in a way, obviously, but also, you know, the sentient undead are quite pleasant company. They have many good things in their wise old years to teach me.
Do they have anything to teach us?
I don't know about that.
Well, you have to have some, like, cool moxer or another monk somewhere that teach us how to teach something.
Oh no, that's mostly just Phil.
Okay, that's just your bodyguard?
Phil is our sort of intimidation to keep people away from the tower. I'm gonna have to find him a new staff though, if you've got his.
Hey,
but, consent
letters?
What's that?
You know those consent letters for the necromancy thing?
Yeah.
Can I have one of those for later?
Oh, you would like to be resurrected at some point?
I don't know. There's a, you know, probably if I die, you know, I can't always.
Okay.
I know that for a fact. When I die, I'm not going to any points up there.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. But if you would like to come and service the Abbey after your demise, then that would be excellent. The fresher your body is, the more easily I can convert it into something more sentient, but I cannot guarantee you'll be mostly just a regular servant with not as much individual capacity. Your soul will have moved on, of course.
I'm hoping for something like the bodyguard thing going on. That would look cool.
Oh, perhaps, depending on how things go. But we shall see. In the meantime, perhaps we should have your friends looked at with all of this. I've never seen this happen before. This is most curious and quite concerning.
What does Luna think about this? Cosma asking for a letter.
Luna's just getting bad vibes all around.
Yes.
Question. Is Bright Claws actively aware of the shift in his mentality from normal to homicidal back to normal?
Yes.
That's very, very concerning.
Yeah, and it felt good is the weirder part.
I mean, no shit, I was high at the time, of course.
But I mean, like, on a metaphysical level, it felt like the right thing to do. And that murdering your compatriots was also the right thing to do.
One of two things. Possession or somehow we are in secret the bad guys. Honestly, both seem like they could be applicable, depending on how the story goes. Definitely gonna need to investigate this potential.
Are we the bad guys?
Probably not.
We're probably
neutral good, neutral thing going on, if anyone listening to this.
Indeed. But yeah, Clarence does ask, you know, would you guys like to, I can examine you if that might, you know, might clear the air a little bit.
It'd be nice to know why I'm allergic to healing magic.
And I too would like to know why I suddenly wanted to kill all best friends. Very, very concerning.
Yes, most indeed. Well, if you would like, hey, I can escort you up to the infirmary.
If you're a doctor, can you check this mole on my butt?
I'm not a doctor.
Oh, okay, fine.
I usually use this infirmary for resurrection, so it, you know, I apologize for the smell.
Okay, I you want to leave Luna to a common area?
Sure. Yeah, if you guys want to go to a waiting room or something. Who would like to go first? Because you're basically led to the second story of this tower, up to a very quaint, homely room. The walls are not really decorated as much as the other ones. And there is like a really nasty, old, rotting smell in here. The bed is in really nice condition, although there are some stains in the sheets. Presumably blood of some sort.
Brightclaw's situation seems a tad more urgent than my own.
Probably.
So I'll let him go first.
Okay. And does anybody, you guys want to go in with them, or are you guys just waiting in the waiting room?
I asked Brightclaws.
I'm good either way. I mean, on one hand, going to medicine people generally is a private affair. On the other hand, I am not unconvinced that individuals may be needed for restraining actions in case of worse turn of events. Yeah.
I wanted to look outside to see if Carl is like bashing on the window.
Yeah. So you want to poke your head out the window or just ask the undead?
I'll just ask the undead, like, hey, buddy, is there like a cleric still being a spaz outside?
Yeah, we saw one like fall off the wall like an hour ago.
Dead?
nobody's really like eager to go check him out because he's a cleric, so we kind of okay. Like he's still twitching, so he's like moving.
Okay, Luna, go ahead and deal with this idiot with me.
Okay.
So you guys are gonna go outside?
Yeah. I'll wait in the room with Bright Claws.
And right. Are you guys doing is the headmaster just getting ready for the inspections?
Yeah, he's pulling out old dusty tomes that he hasn't used in a while. He's kind of like looking through it to make sure he's got the right incantations, and he's got a couple of skeletons in the room to help him out with, you know, holding down or surgery or that kind of thing.
Are they wearing like sexy nurse outfits from Party City or something?
You know, I'm going to say yes. They're all wearing face masks and the 1950s style busty nurse outfits. Absolutely.
Yeah. And they're all like a different gendered kind of thing.
I mean, they're skeletons. So.
Yes.
Yeah. So the skeletal orderlies surround you by claws and look down at you, clattering their teeth.
I would like to ask, what's his name?
Clarence?
Yes, I'd like to ask Clarence, if he isn't a doctor in necromancy, does he at least have a master's degree in it?
Yes, quite a few ages ago I got my master's degree in the art of necromancy, as is the family tradition. Well, I was homeschooled, you could say, but you know, it runs in the family.
Ah, so you are a master necromancer then?
Indeed, you know, I'm not as proficient as some of my others because I haven't used my magic in quite the same ways. You know, many, 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 many moons ago, my family was more the, you know, stereotypical necromancer using the undead to gain power and all those kind of awful things. But over the last couple of generations, we've used our magic more for just maintaining the graveyard out back and making sure the undead that are here are happy and the dead here are happy, and to grow our wine in peace.
Sounds chill.
Yes, it's an enjoyable life, if not a powerful one, and that's perfectly fine.
All right.
So he gives the one large book to one of the skeletons who holds it open for him. He looks at through the various incantations. And, okay, yes, this should be the right one. He puts his hands over you and starts muttering magical incantations. Marin, are you like right over Bright Claws, or are you just kind of in the room?
I'm just kind of in the room near the back, sort of watching.
Okay. So as good old Clarence goes around, I'll have him, let's see what he finds out. So for about a minute, Clarence does this procedure. The skeletons wait idly just in case. He touches Brightclaw's feet, stomach, and head, and he kind of scrunches his eyebrows a little, as in not sure what he's looking at. And he opens his eyes, stops the magic, says, my dear boy, I hope this is not an intrusive request, but would it be okay if I took some of your blood? Like, just a vial.
Do you have any sort of wizardry contract, whatever magic, to ensure that you do not use it for necromantic voodoo or cursing? Sharing blood is... I've heard bad stories about giving necromancers blood. It's, I do not like being blood.
I can understand the concern, but I can't give you a contract, but I can give you my personal guarantee that no harm will come to you or any of your family. It's mainly for alchemical analysis.
Very well, but I am in an alchemical class myself, although I've only just begun. I wouldn't suppose it would be problematic if I was allowed to at least observe the process myself.
I don't imagine so, no. If you'll just lie down here, I'll use the syringe.
And he pulls out a very large needle from one of the skeletons.
It's empty, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, sure. Marin's in the room, right?
Correct.
That is correct.
Okay, good. At least there's a witness in case if anything goes topsy-turvy. All right, indeed. I will do happen. Yes.
I thought you would ask him to hold his hand for you.
I mean, what do you think generally tries to happen when people hold the hands of cats?
I don't know. I just thought you would be like a four-year-old who needs a flu shot.
Cats do not like having handholds. They bring out claws because the pads of their feet are very sensitive. It's like, you know, the same reason why you shouldn't generally touch the belly of a cat unless if they really, really love you. It is their weak spots, and they get defensive over it. But anyhow, let us continue with the story.
Indeed. So he draws about an ounce of blood from you, takes a bit, but he takes it and then takes the vial out of the large needle, and he takes it over to the back of the room where he has some alchemical equipment set up, and he starts pouring the blood into his various other vials and decanters and what have you. Sets a little fire underneath one of them to boil the blood. And as he kind of cleans himself up, he makes sure to wash his hands, as is the proper etiquette, and the skeleton's hand also washing their hands. And he says, well, my boy, here's what I can tell you without fully analyzing your blood. You appear to have some sort of magic within you, as it were. You're not inherently a sorcerer or anything like that. You don't strike me as the type.
I am not a sorcerer. This is indeed true.
Yes, well, from what I can tell, just on my, regular analysis, it appears that something magical has been distributed into your bloodstream
and is sort of worked its way into the rest of your body. Almost like, it's like as if a if you drank a dye, and that dye would go out into your bloodstream and color your bloodstream, and then, you know, your organs and skin and things like that would pick up that dye as well.
So are we talking mutualistic, symbiotic, or parasitic relationship with my bodily systems?
Well, it doesn't seem to be working against you. That much is certain. You're, from what I can tell, again, I only have a master's degree, not a doctorate, but it doesn't appear that it's directly harming you. But I wouldn't be surprised if there are some side effects.
Oh. Does this mean I can use magic?
Well, if you're able to channel it correctly, perhaps. But it might take some effort on your part to figure out.
I see.
So, yeah, that's what he tells you, Brightclaws. He says, I will, we will find out the true nature of this, infestation, as it were, in your blood, in due time, hopefully, if I can boil away the water contents.
All right.
That shouldn't take more than an hour. And while that's going, my dear boy, I apologize. I don't know if I caught you're Marin, yes?
That is correct.
Yes. How about you stand, come and lay down here, Marin, and we can examine you as well while we're waiting for his blood to boil.
I suppose so.
So he does the whole same process with you, with the book and the skeletons and touching your feet, stomach, and head. And after about a minute of this, it says, huh, that's very odd. He kind of looks at you quizzically as you're laying down on this bed.
Something wrong, Clements?
No, not necessarily. You don't have any tieflings in the family, do you?
No, I'm a half-elf myself, so it's humans and elves for the most part.
Are you certain of this? No pacts with devils in the past? Anything like that?
Not anything that I'm aware of.
This is very peculiar. And kind of looks at your head a little more closely, touches your forehead and, you know, examines your neck and says, well, you seem to be quite all right. I could have just sworn I felt some kind of fiendish influence, as it were. But he was almost negligible, in a way.
Do you think that this sort of influence could be what's causing my negative reaction to healing magic and holy magic the like?
Well, if it is some kind of fiendish magic devilry in your blood, that is certainly a possibility. Again, I cannot precisely pinpoint it. It's not even just... It's in your blood as well, and it's worked its way into your organs as well. Just it's... If it is what I suspect, some kind of fiendish influence, we can't really boil it away, because, you know, the chemistry is different. So I can only get so good of a reading, as it were. So I don't know how much I can help you, but yes, that's mostly what I can dispense, is that you seem to have some sort of... Dare I say it, devil blood in you, my boy?
Marin, instead of looking like distraught or confused by this, he looks almost a bit glad or excited to hear this. Well, this makes things a lot more interesting.
Yes, indeed. So, I don't know how this would exactly affect you, because I only expect this kind of thing from, you know, tieflings, because it makes sense. But, yes, that's all I can really offer of you, I'm afraid. I'm sorry.
That's a shame, because I'm curious to know more. But thank you for everything that you've done.
Of course, of course. If you can find some kind of mage out there that is a little more proficient in medical magic than I am, then they might be able to offer you something of some sort. Or I don't know if divine magic would be the healthiest thing for you, but you can... potentially seek help through that, maybe?
But that is what I can offer.
Well, thank you.
So he guides you off the bed and back towards the chair. Says, now let us just wait a few minutes, and we'll let this blood boil, and we can find our answers maybe to some of our Tabaxi friends' questions. And meanwhile, you guys are led outside by Floyd, the zombie, to the outer area of the tower, next to where Bite Claws and Carl had tried to climb it. And you see, at the foot of the wall, is Carl lying up in a disheveled, broken heap. He's got limbs going the wrong way, sticking up in the air, twitching a little bit.
Oh, dear.
Carl, Cosmo starts poking a bit. I know this is not the first aid way to do it. It's like Cosmo's doing the opposite of what I would do, and he's just like poking his forehead. Like, hey, Luna, Carl's broken.
Help me, please.
I think I'm going to use Cure Wounds on him.
Yeah?
Yeah. 1d8.
Okay, how many, let's see how many hit points you heal.
So 7.
Perfect. So you see his bones very painfully realign. His knee goes back the right way around. There's some audible bone cracking. He whines, he goes, thank you. And he kind of sits himself back up.
I was going to look at him and be like, hey, listen here. You owe Luna now a thing and for helping fix your ass. So, Luna, what favor do you want Carl to do for you?
Just to be happy.
Not to be a prick towards these fine guests?
Just to be happy. Hey, they're undead, man. I'm born to kill undead. Hey. Just watch me. And he starts climbing up the tower again.
Cosmo slaps his bum while he's climbing. Like, yeah, you do that.
He slides back down.
Why don't you come with us? What's his name again?
Why would you want Carl? Nerd to join us? He's obviously almost a maniac to kill these fine folks.
Well, if something happens, then we'll have one more person on the team.
Why? What'd they do to... I think he's the issue.
I'm not an issue. I'm the master. And
just like does a Cosmo's like you really don't know anything, do you? These people have been very nice.
I know how to kill undead.
I know how to kill you. And he just turns to Luna and be like, you're gonna let this snot enter the house and try to ruin it? I thought Bright Claws would do such a thing, but like think about it. He's obviously insane. And that's coming from me.
I'm not insane. He turns around and says, I'll have you know my favorite band is a band of bards called Nickelback.
Right. And Cosmo's
that's like, real music.
Cosmo's like, you know, the old saying, insanity is doing things over and over again, expecting a different result. And he points at the claw marks from the house.
Of course, that's why I should go in the front. And he starts waddling over to the front.
He chips Carl.
You're gonna trip him?
Yeah.
Okay, make me just an unarmed attack roll against Carl.
I got a 17.
Okay, he beats you. He leaps over your foot. Says, nice try, Kazuma, but I'm going to be the first one in. And I'm going to kill that necromancer myself.
I use the bonus action to punch in the back of the head.
Okay.
17 again.
All right, you hit him. Do your damage.
I got a 4.
4 damage overall?
Yeah.
All right, you punch him in the back of the head. He says, hey! What's that for? You almost knocked off my fedora.
Good. That little thing has been pissing me off. You're not going to enter that house and hurt that old, nice old man. We're trying to figure something out. You're going to ruin this for all of us. You sit right here and anything happens, if this old man gets injured by your hands, I'll break every single finger you got and then rip your arms off and shove it up your asshole.
All right. Give me an intimidation check, I guess.
Get an advantage, sir. Because I said I'll shove it up his asshole.
Are you helping intimidate Amanda?
No.
Okay, just a regular roll then.
I got a 14.
All right. He looks down at his mace and as his clawed up hands, says,
"All right, but if that necromancer shows his face, I'm going to gut him."
You're really that stupid, are you? Like, you know, like just Cosmo staring down on him and be like, "Listen, we just need you to help us get through this. And if you do anything, we didn't promise you to be coming back alive."
Well, joke's on them. I'm coming back. Because I always come back.
You really are such a loser, aren't you?
He's going to punch you in the face.
Okay, try.
He rolls a 1 and he trips and he knocks himself unconscious.
Oh my god.
His fedora flows through the air and into a nearby bog and it sinks into the mud.
Cosmo smiles like, "Hey, I guess gods love me and they exist."
Sweet justice.
Cosmo.
What?
You know I'm going to have to revive him again because of that, right?
He says knocked down, so I'll just put him on, like, Cosmo just leans him up in the tower facing his airways open so he won't, like, have a pinch breathing, and then and it just, like, you know, and tells Floyd, like, "All right, let's get going, and Floyd, don't forget to shine like that crazy diamond you are."
But wouldn't it look better if we came back with Floyd alive?
He's unconscious, I think.
Yeah, he's not dead. He's just knocked himself out. And Floyd says, "Shine on, crazy diamond. Good band."
Yeah, I love Pink Floyd. One of my favorite ones when my father was, when I lived with my father, was the pink, was the Wall.
Wall. And he starts guiding you guys
he's
back.
Turning up. Into a zombie. He's turning into a zombie. I have to revive him.
That was Floyd.
That's Floyd.
Yeah. Carl is the priest.
Yeah. Okay.
Pay attention here.
Yeah.
Many voices going on.
Yeah, so you guys are brought back up to where White Claws and Marinar. Floyd opens the door to let you guys in. And Clarence says, "Oh, fantastic. Wonderful. You're back here. You're just in time for us to see our blood sample analysis." And he starts eagerly walking in. You see that most of the blood in this glass bowl sort of looking thing, or glass bottle over this burner, has boiled away, and it's just left a black goopy puddle inside. It looks very viscous and sticky.
Ew.
And it says, this appears to be the residue of what's in your blood, my dear tabaxi friend."
Yeah.
It is thick as molasses, and you think you can see it, like, very subtly bubbling.
What is it, exactly?
If I have to be honest, I have no idea.
That's very concerning. You have a master's degree in necromancy.
Yes. Let me just see here. And he uncaps the bottle, starts looking inside it. And all of a sudden, tentacles of black goop string out and start strangling him around the neck.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's more fun. I'm
saving him right away.
I will rush to his aid with my tabaxi speed and attempt to swap the evil jar away from him.
All right. So as you guys leap towards him, you see tentacles start to go up his nose and his eyes start to turn black. And so you're going to swat this out of his hand there, Bright Claws?
That is... Okay, well, maybe it would be more efficient if I, mayhaps, grabbed it with my hands.
All right, you're going to grab it?
Yes, and attempt to pull it off. Perhaps bite into it so as to sever its connection to him.
Okay, give me an athletics check.
13.
13 overall?
Overall, yes.
All right. You barely...
Do I,
Sorry, good.
Never mind.
So you barely, you're using your teeth to just kind of gnash this thing out of his hand, and your claws.
Yeah, well, using my claws to get good into and just pull it away as much as possible.
I want to help him as well by some other way. I don't know how.
Okay, well, Brightclaws manages to just barely wrest this jar, this glass, out from his hand. But what comes out of the bottle, stays attached via tentacles. It's like pulling one of those giant rubber hands. This thing stretches out of the bottle, and then tentacles poke out of it and start going into Brightclaws' hand. And Brightclaws, you can feel a very calming, nice sensation that
feels
very familiar to you.
Yes, very good. So I am one McKnivering bastard. I still have the wine, right?
Yes.
What was the alcohol contents of that wine that I tasted?
Probably a little on the stronger side. I'm going to say, let's say the ballpark of between 18 and 20%.
Okay, cool. Does anybody have Firebolt?
Kazuma has the ability to launch fireballs.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I am going to douse my hand that is getting attacked with that wine and yell out, "Somebody light it up!" Meh.
Douse your hand in wine.
Run outside now.
The well-being of my hand is nothing compared to the glory of killing more slimy nonsense, I say.
I grab Brightclaws and we run outside.
You guys are going to start running outside? Because he's still attached to Clarence.
I'm ripping it out from Clarence.
You wanna rip him out from Clarence?
Yeah, I'm trying to save Clarence.
Okay, you want to just tug with all your might to get this stuff out of here?
Yes.
So you're going to pull on Brightclaws. And you're going to pull on Brightclaws to try to get him out of Clarence.
Hold on, I just had...
All right, what I'm planning to do is grab Brightclaws. When he said that, I wanted to grab Brightclaws and pull him out with that substance in his hand, trying to lure him out. And if Clarence... Okay. I don't know if Clarence is in trouble still, because it sounded like this saved him.
Well, no, this thing is still trying to get into Clarence. It's just now it's also going into Brightclaws from the other end. And Brightclaws is pulling the goop like an elastic.
I tried grabbing Clarence and I asked someone to help me out here.
I pulled on Kazuma's tail.
Hold on. I did have an idea. In the meantime, after I poured the wine on my hand, could I perhaps take out my whip and try to apply it to my arm, akin to a tourniquet, to try and stop the spread of the slime through it?
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to give me a sleight of hand check.
I cut Brightclaws' arm.
As in off?
Yeah, I want to cut his hand off.
Oh.
I say I would start doing the whip thing before, so...
Okay.
Yeah, this
escalated quickly.
So, yeah, you go from 0 to 100 pretty quickly.
I got 14.
Okay, you think that it's adequate? And Kazuma, to get this right, you want to use your axe to chop off Brightclaws' hand.
Yes, to stop his threat.
Okay, just a suggestion. Maybe focus on somehow getting it out of the master necromancer.
I'll just try to save the master.
Okay, how are you going to do that? Because this is going into his mouth, his eyes, and his ear. Or his nose and his ears. Not his eyes.
I scream, I don't know.
Wait, hold on. Aren't we in a room surrounded by medical attendants who are undead? Can't we just ask them if they...
Yeah, I say scream, help them out.
Ask them where the fucking anti-slime powder is or something. I mean, if we're in a medical office, I'm sure he has something for this.
Okay, you see one of the skeletons clatter its teeth at the other skeleton, and one of them runs off, and the rest of them are going to start pulling on the goop to try to pull it away. It doesn't affect them.
But they're trying to pull with all of their skeletal, non-muscular might to get this stuff out of Clarence and you.
I guess that, I don't know what to do. I'm kind of stumped. I guess that's weird, huh?
Manon, what are you doing at this time?
At this time, I think I'll be trying to like cut the connection between Doombringer and Brightclaws.
Okay, you just want to try to cut this stuff in half?
Yeah.
All right, give me an attack roll. And what weapon are you using for this?
I don't really have a cutting weapon, but I have a small knife.
Actually, I'll cut with my axe. Maybe that'll help out.
Okay, if you guys want to try to do that together, that should work.
I'll do that.
Cool. Right. So you can do that with advantage, as Marin's kind of helping you out.
17 plus 5, it will be a 22.
Cool. So you whack this thing against this slimy mass. Give me your damage.
Max damage of 9.
Cool. So you slash this thing and you slash it right in half. And it, like a catapult, springs out and smacks Clarence and each Brightclaws in the face as they go careening backwards across the room. Clarence is still trying to keep this stuff from getting up his nose. But Brightclaws, this stuff goes without any resistance left. It goes all the way up into your hand. And then your hand starts to turn purple. And it starts to act on its own.
Oh.
And that's where we're going to end it.
Oh, no.
No.
Wait.
Oh, no. How could the Orcopod save the poor old necromancer? Well, you have to check out next episode on Adventuring 101, hosted by the media group Beholder Our Adventure. Featuring Stephen Mercer as Cosma and editor of this episode, Amanda Stewart as Luna Sage, Elliot Luke Grayson as Brightclaws, Tyler McAwem as Merid Macus, and the Dungeon Master as Robbie Thompson. The show is produced by yours truly, and this episode was also finalized by Robbie Thompson, so don't worry, there's so-so quality from the old guard. The theme song was made by Sky, aka Baby Sky, and check her out on SoundCloud and YouTube. I think it goes as well as Pip as well. Please share us on any podcast sharing apps as well. It would be much appreciated, and review us on iTunes. Don't forget about checking us out as well on Twitter. It's Beholder Hour. It's the link is in the description, as well as our Discord. That's a really big area for us to meet you guys and to share us some dank memes, because I appreciate some memes myself. You could tell. Go down the Hall of Memes. It's very fun. And we also do like to play some games with you guys if you want on Steam. So, you know, drop us a line. We'll definitely see about, you know, getting a game for Vermicide or Gunfire Reborn. Stay safe out there, and don't forget to wear a mask and wash your hands.